caring for an aging loved one? Are you a senior searching for answers? Welcome to Senior Care Live, a program dedicated to you, providing information, education, and resources for seniors and their caregivers. And now, America's Senior Care Consultant, Steve Kuecker.
Hello and welcome to Senior Care Live. I'm Steve Kuecker, your senior care consultant, and I really appreciate you tuning in today. On this Veterans Day, we have a wonderful program on tap for you with Mr. Ron Cherry. He's the Associate Director of National Veteran Services with the VFW, the national headquarters of the VFW. And Ron, welcome back to Senior Care Live.
Thanks, Steve. It's glad to be here.
All right. And I know you're a really busy guy, and you're always very generous with your time, and you always manage to make a little bit of time to come in and talk to us on Senior Care Live about this really important benefit that we're going to talk today. It's the VA Aid and Attendance Benefit. And Ron, what is the VA Aid and Attendance Benefit?
Well, Steve, the VA Aid and Attendance Benefit is a financial benefit to help pay for the high cost of senior care. It's for veterans and surviving spouses of veterans.
Okay, so this is a benefit not only for the veterans, but then for the surviving spouse of a veteran.
That is correct.
Yeah, and every time I work with a senior care consulting client, and you know, one of the big parts of the care profile that we develop at the beginning of delivering my services is, you know, how are we going to pay for the high cost of senior care? And so this is a specific benefit to help pay for senior care.
Yes, it is.
All right, so with that, VA Aid and Attendance Benefit, how do you qualify for this valuable benefit?
Well, Steve, there are service and financial care-related requirements you must meet to receive this benefit, such as service-related requirements, you know, depending on when you served in the military. There are at least 90 days of consecutive service in active duty, with one of those days being during a wartime period.
So if someone is serving active duty, you're almost always serving longer than 90 days.
Yes, yes.
Okay, definitely. Okay. So if you served 90 consecutive days or more, so that's kind of the first piece of that, and then it has to be during a period of war.
Yes, at least one of those days has to be during a period of war. Only one day, though.
Okay, would you like to review those?
Yes, the war periods are as I call them off here, the period of World War II was December 7, 1941 through December 31st, 1946. The Korean War was June 27, 1950 through January 31st, 1955. Vietnam War, August 5th, 1964 through May 7, 1975. Boots on the ground period for the Vietnam War begins February 28th, 1961. And if you served during the Persian Gulf, which that date is hasn't been closed yet.
That's still open.
That's still open
on that one. Okay, yes. Okay. So just to reiterate on the Vietnam period of war. So for all active duty military personnel, August 5th, 1964, all the way through May the 7th, 1975. But then there is an exception, and that could be for anyone. You could have served stateside in a logistical role as long as you're active duty. But if you had boots on the ground in Vietnam, that period rolls back all the way to February 28th, 1961.
That is correct.
Okay. And then what about your discharge? Probably just not dishonorably?
Not dishonorably discharged. Anything higher than a general or higher.
Okay. All right. And there are a lot of different types of discharges other than a general discharge.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then the second, again, serve 90 consecutive days active duty, at least one day during a period of war. And if you miss that, you can go back and listen to the podcast. I'll tell you about that later. Not dishonorably discharged. And then the second point is a financial related requirements.
Correct.
Okay, so you have exempt assets, and that would include, what, Ron, your house, your cars, and all the stuff in your house?
Yes, all your personal items are not considered assets. When we get to talking about assets, we're talking about stocks, bonds, IRAs, CODs, things like that.
Okay, so all of your liquid assets, and I believe the number this year is still, it's $150,538 or less.
Yes, that is correct. If your assets are under that number, then you could qualify possibly for this benefit.
Okay. And I had asked you about an update, but I guess that still has, it's not quite out yet, but when that update comes available, it's effective December 1st.
That is correct. The cost of living increase has, numbers have not been published yet, so we don't have the exact numbers on the assets or the rates. However, they will be posted effective December 1st.
And that correlates to a cost of living, cost of living, which is 3.2?
3.2 cost of living increase. Generally, it mirrors what the Social Security Administration gives as a COLA increase.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And then there's an income calculation that if they ask you what your income is and you say, well, you know, I make X dollars a month, that's not what they're looking for.
That is correct. Because if they look at that income alone, sometimes income disqualifies a veteran or a widow from the benefit. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at your income minus your unreimbursed medical expenses.
Okay.
And if you have enough medical expenses to get your income down to zero, then you may qualify for the maximum amount of the benefit.
Okay. So it's your income minus unreimbursed medical expenses, and that could include, so if you're staying in a long-term care community or an assisted living community, I mean, you know, that's $6,000 to, you know, $9,000 or $10,000 a month. That's an unreimbursed medical expense.
That is correct. I can go over some of those expenses if you like. As you said, long-term care or assisted living facilities, health-related medical insurance premiums, including Medicare premiums, diabetic supplies, home care supplies, incontinence supplies, over-the-counter vitamins, medications, mileage to and from your doctor's appointments, dental, optical. So any medical or medical-related expense is possibly can be counted towards your unreimbursed medical expenses.
So what we're looking at there is, I'll give an example. Should I just go ahead and give an example? No. I'll save the example. We'll use that as kind of a teaser. But if your income is say $2,200, and then if you add up all of these examples of unreimbursed medical expenses, if that's $2,200 or more, then your income is effectively zero, or maybe
bottoms your income out, which at that point it qualifies you for the maximum amount of that benefit.
Okay, and then the third part of qualifying is, so just because you served, the money is just not sent. You have to actually require care and be paying for care. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And the veteran or the surviving spouse of a veteran must require assistance with at least two activities of daily living. And Ron, would you like to review those?
Yes. Some of the activities that we have listed or that they're requiring that you need assistance with is, one is bathing, mobility and transferring, which could be to and from bed, to and from the shower, to and from your dinner table or your breakfast table, incontinence, eating, assistance with toileting and dressing, assistance with medication management, and also meal preparation. So all those are considered activities of daily living. And if you require assistance with just two of those, you could also qualify for that benefit.
So this, I'm seeing a lot of the aspects or features of this program mirroring, some of it has a little bit of a mirroring of Medicaid qualification. This one is specifically mirroring a long-term care insurance policy, because a long-term care insurance contract also requires at least two activities of daily living. So if you need a little bit of help, and let's say you're paying for a home care provider to come into your home and help you with some of these daily activities, or for sure if you've moved into an assisted living community or a higher level of care, every single person I know in those situations, they're going to need help getting dressed. They're going to need help managing their medicine. They're probably going to need help, you know, using the restroom and maybe some meal preparation. It's really easy to check the box on at least two of those.
It is very easy. And the meal preparation is a big piece. Once you enter into those facilities, you're mostly dependent upon their meal situation. So that's an easy one to meet there. In the mobility and transferring, even if someone is helping you into the bed or out of the bed, that's assistance with mobility and transferring. Mm-hmm. So Those are relatively easy to qualify, but you definitely have to have medical documentation of the assistance that you need with those.
That's right. You can't just say, hey, I got a little help there. It has to be documented. It has to be legitimate.
It has to be legitimate, for sure.
For sure, for sure. So, okay, if this is catching your attention, you're like, wait a minute, I need to look into this for myself, for my loved one, reach out to Ron Cherry at 816-968-1153. That number is good anywhere in the entire nation. This is a phone number that gets you straight into the national headquarters of the VFW. 816-968-1153. And now, Senior Care Live, question of the week. You must be a member of the VFW to receive help from them with the veterans' benefits. Is this statement true or false? What do you think?
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, visit SeniorCareLive.com. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For more information, go to SeniorCareLive.com. All right, back to the Senior Care Live question of the week. You must be a member of the VFW to receive help from them with veteran benefits. Is this statement true or false? And the answer is... false. The answer is false. And Ron, I bet we caught a few folks off guard. I think a lot of people probably assume you have to be a member or affiliated with the VFW to receive help from you.
No, you do not. I just have to be a veteran with, something higher than our dishonorable discharge, and we can definitely assist them. And even in those situations, there are certain things that we're able to assist those veterans with as well. So we pretty much help all veterans.
All right. We're visiting today with Mr. Ron Cherry. He's the Associate Director of National Veteran Services with the National Headquarters of the VFW. If this is resonating with you, if this is bringing up a lot of questions like, hey, wait a minute. We need to look into this for our loved one or my friend or for yourself. Here's the phone number. This is a Kansas City-based phone number, but this is the national headquarters of the VFW. So you can call anywhere in the country. They'll be able to help you. 816-968-1153. That's 816-968-1153. So we're talking today about the VA aid and attendance benefit, and so we have the three qualifications, if you will. So to qualify for that, there's a service-related requirement, there's financial-related requirements, and then there's a care-related requirement. We've talked about all of that, and so with that, let's get to the good stuff, Ron. So how much money does the benefit pay per month? And these are current 2023 rates that will be increasing a little bit in December.
Yes, these rates are our current rates to be changed effective December 1st of 2023. So these are effective for another month or so. But a single veteran can receive up to $2,229 per month or an annual $26,748. A married veteran can receive up to $2,643 a month or $31,716 annually. A surviving spouse can receive up to $1,318 a month or $15,816 a year. Two married veterans can receive up to $3,536 a month or $42,432 a year. We're currently waiting on the 2024 rates to be published. However, on December 1st, they should be published and available at any VA website, va.gov, and you can definitely find that information.
And then we're expecting probably about a 3.2% bump, or it could be a little bit different than that, but usually it follows that COLA adjustment.
Yes, generally it mirrors whatever the Social Security Administration COLA adjustment is, and we mirror that and kind of go along with that. And it's been rumored to be 3.2, but we haven't seen the numbers published yet, so we're waiting on those.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. And then here's the Medicaid kind of part of this as far as mirroring some of the requirements, some of the issues. There is a look back period. So as of October 18th of 2018, they instituted a 3-year look back. And that was so that they're going to look back 3 years to see if you gave away a whole bunch of money trying to qualify for this. You need to qualify for this in the right way.
Yeah. And this, you know, this law was changed, as you stated, October 18th of 2018, just for that case. They want to keep this benefit fair for everyone.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that is to have the 3-year look back to ensure that there's nobody moving money around to qualify for this benefit, because it's put in place for the ones that need it. And we want it to be fair and everybody to qualify that qualifies.
Well, that makes sense. And so once you submit a clean claim, and that's something that you and your team can help fill out that form, fill out that application and submit a clean claim. How long does it take that application to be reviewed and then ultimately approved?
On average, it's about 6 to 9 months. We have seen some in take a little longer. You know, everyone is a different circumstance, but on average, it's about 6 to 9 months with the retroactive to the date that you file a claim.
So once, let's say it's 9 months and you get approved, you're going to get a big check going back to that application date covering those 9 months, and then a monthly check thereafter.
Correct.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And again, for 2024, effective December the 1st, we're probably going to have about a 3.2% increase. But I'll update our listeners when those rates are officially published. So,
okay.
So here's an example. This is really, really powerful. Let's say you have I'm just going to give you some statistics here. If you have an income of $2,000, you're living in an assisted living apartment that costs $6,000 a month. You receive the VA aid and attendance benefit of $2,000. And let's say you have liquid assets of $100,000. Okay. And by the way, that's a pretty common situation right there with a lot of my clients with Senior Care Consulting. Without the aid and attendance benefit, your money will last you about 2 years. With the VA aid and attendance benefit, your money will last you a little over 4 years. So that just doubled it cut your burn rate in half. So it doubled your ability to pay for your assisted living costs. So this is a really, really big deal. And Ron, you had mentioned, we were talking on the break, you mentioned something called claim sharks.
Yes.
What is that?
A claim shark is these attorney law firms that are charging veterans an absurdly amount of money to and making promises about what they can do for their claims and not coming through and just basically taking money out of veterans' pockets, where they can come to the VFW or any service organization and the same services that they provide, we can provide for those veterans absolutely free.
I didn't think you were allowed to charge to help someone apply for this benefit.
Unfortunately, that's not the case. There's no law in place as we speak, but the VFW and several of the other service organizations are currently working hard in Washington, D.C., trying to get some legislation passed so we can cap these amounts that these law firms are charging these veterans and basically stop them from stealing money from veterans.
Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? And I'm assuming they probably want a percentage once that claim is paid.
Yes. They're forcing these guys to sign a contract. They're forcing them to give them their passwords to their VA logins. There's a lot of things going on that we don't approve of, and we're trying to put a stop to it.
Well, so this reminds me of an attorney or a law firm that will help someone who's pretty desperate to try to qualify for disability income. And let's say it's approved and they're back paid a year. That's a pretty big check.
Yeah.
And then they get a huge percentage of that. That sounds kind of similar to me.
You see, it's exactly that. They're charging up to 35-40% of that back pay. And some of them are having them sign lifelong contracts where they're receiving a percentage of their disability.
Every month?
Every month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so they're not necessarily following these claims the correct way either. So you just be wary of the claim shark that are out there. And again, the VFW is here on your side, free of charge. We're located in every state. We can definitely assist you with the benefit if you qualify for it.
Mr. Ron Cherry with the national headquarters of the VFW, 816-968-1153. And Ron, thank you so much for being here today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Steve. And anytime that we can come out and spread the word about the benefits that that these veterans earn, it's our pleasure to get out here and do it.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you making time to come in. And thanks again. And thank you for your service on this Veterans Day.
Appreciate you. And thanks for your support.
All right. We'll have more coming up next.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have a question? Visit SeniorCareLive.com. Stick around. We'll have more with Steve coming up next.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. For podcasts of the program, go to SeniorCareLive.com or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so just want to say thanks again to my friend Ron Cherry with the national headquarters of the VFW. They just happen to be located right downtown here in Kansas City, but the phone number that I gave you, you can call them anywhere in the country and they will help you. You do not have to be a member of the VFW to receive help from them applying for the VA aid and attendance benefit or any other benefit that you may be entitled to. A great group right here at the national headquarters of VFW, 816-968-1153. That's a direct number to schedule a meeting to discuss the aid and attendance benefit. 816-968-1153. If you would rather call their main phone number, that's 816-756-3390. And back to that term, a claim shark. I'll tell you what, this entire world is full of people trying to get money out of your wallet or trying to get money out of your pocket or out of your purse. It is just stunning how many people have their hands out. And it's also stunning how many people look like they're here to help, but they've got their hands out, and pretty soon their hand is in your wallet. It's in your pocket. It's in your purse. So if someone says, oh, hey, listen now, hey, we've got your back, right? We're going to help you apply for that VA aid and attendance benefit, and they want you to sign contracts and all kinds of stuff. You may be signing up to give away a huge percentage of that big lump sum that would come on your first check, because remember Ron said it could take, you know, an average of 6 to 9 months to process that claim and then get the payout going. So say if it's 9 months and it's $2,000 a month, that first check's for $18,000. That's a big check. And then after that is $2,000 a month or whatever your number is. But guess who wants a big percentage of that $18,000? The claim sharks. And sometimes you may even be signing a contract to where they get a percentage of your monthly benefit for life. That should be illegal. I hope that all of these veteran service organizations, such as the VFW and many others, I hope they're successful in creating legislation that will either stop that or cap it. So I think it should be stopped altogether. Look, just you can avoid that altogether by calling the national headquarters of the VFW, 816-968-1153. They are free of charge. You don't have to be a member. That's where I send all of my clients, and that's where I would recommend that you contact as well, and they'll help you out, and it won't cost you a single penny. All right, so I'm going to shift gears here on this Veterans Day, and I'm going to talk about something that I've been hearing a lot about. I've been kind of shouting from the mountaintops and the rooftops and through the radio and everywhere, be proactive. If you think you may need to move to a senior care community, I would not wait to do your homework. I would get out, do your homework, make some choices, make some decisions, get your name on a waiting list, because there's a seasonality I'll explain here in just a few minutes where we're getting ready to enter the peak demand of the entire year. So I'd rather have my name on a waiting list and be fifth on the waiting list than 20th on the waiting list. And if you put it off too long, that's exactly what's going to happen. So let's do a review of when to consider moving from your home to a senior care community. It is by far and away the most frequently asked questions I have ever been asked, clear back to when I started senior care consulting in 2002. So although sometimes it's pretty obvious when you need to move, more often than not, it's not quite that obvious. It's a little gray. So I like to say that the following things should trigger the conversation of considering moving from your home to a senior care community. Number one, if we have a safety issue involved. So when it's no longer safe to live at home. And a lot of these have to do with just the inability to do things for yourself or possibly related to some cognitive issues, some memory loss, some cognitive challenges. So leaving the stovetop burners on, this is just one of many common examples. That's probably one of the most common things that I've heard, leaving the stovetop burner on. Obviously, it's a fire hazard, major safety issue. Just turn the stove off. Turn off the electricity or stop the gas flow, and you can take care of that. But that's a huge one. And a lot of people, oh, Steve, that's not a problem. Until one day, it is a problem. So don't rule anything out and just take your precautions, okay? Because we need to keep our seniors safe while they're in their home. Well, we always need to keep them safe, but that's what we're talking about here. Number two, maybe wandering away and not able to find your way back home. That has to do with cognitive issues, and that would trigger sometimes, if they're gone for an extended period of time, that would trigger a silver alert. And that's when an elderly person is missing. Maybe they went out for a walk or a drive. That's one I hear probably more often than not. And they end up in the next state or a few counties away, and they're lost. They're not sure how to get home. Okay. Usually that ends with a happy ending, but not always. So just super, super important. Malnutrition and dehydration, that's just the lack of ability to keep up with that. Unsanitary living conditions due to neglect or just the inability to keep up with the house cleaning and just your living conditions. Frequent injuries at home, frequent falls, frequent hospitalizations. Here's one that flies under the radar, and it shouldn't. Medication management, not taking your medications properly, not taking them on time, maybe not taking them at all. And then another one that makes my blood boil, and I'll probably do a whole show on this coming up pretty soon, but elder abuse, and particularly elder financial abuse. Okay, these are all safety concerns that should trigger the conversation of considering moving from your home to a senior care community. Number two, and this is a close number two, when the caregiver's health and well-being are in decline. It's your mental health, emotional health, spiritual health, and of course, your physical health. And what we do, we love this person so much, we place our own needs second. We put them on the back burner. We skip doctor's appointments and dentist appointments, and we drop out of social events like the book club and the guys with donuts, every Friday morning, donuts and coffee with the boys. Going to church, that's not really a social event, but there is a social component to that. So look, stress is just a really, really powerful force. And in fact, I just visited earlier this week with the Senior Care Live listener, and his sister is she's cared for her mother for so many years, and she's kind of at the end of her rope. And I would say that, you know, she has, you know, all of the above are in decline. And so they're reaching out for help to find a senior care community because she's just out over her skis and frankly, probably waited too long. So just be real careful with that. If you see a loved one who is literally just failing, being crushed by the stress of being a caregiver, you've got to step in. You got to do something about that. All right, number three, when the cost of in-home care becomes too expensive. Now, if you've listened to the program for any length of time at all, you know that I am a huge, huge, huge fan of home care services, hourly home care services. And it's just one of the best ways to remain independent at home. And we talk about it all the time. However, if your need escalates to that 24 hours a day, look, home care used to be expensive enough, about $15,000 to $20,000 a month. However, as I've mentioned on the program before, home care costs have skyrocketed like everything else. Now it's going to cost about $25,000 to $30,000 a month. And at that point, you might say, hey, wait a minute. You know, that is too expensive. We can move to assisted living for $8,000 a month, more affordably, with better stewards of the money, et cetera, et cetera. So at some point, it may be a financially driven decision. And then last but not least, if the care that you provide is just not enough, why not consider changing your role from the caregiver to the care manager? Meaning, let's get out, let's find a great place, let them provide the care, and then you can speak for them. You can manage the care and make sure that they're receiving everything that they need to receive. If this is resonating with you, if you need help finding the right senior care community, I would invite you to ask for a free consultation with my firm, Senior Care Consulting, at 913-945-2800 or online at seniorcareconsulting.com. Don't go away. I'm going to have some really good stuff coming right up.
You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. To contact Steve or a guest on his show, visit seniorcarelive.com. We'll have more coming up.
Welcome back. You're listening to Senior Care Live on the Senior Care Broadcasting Network. Have questions? Visit seniorcarelive.com. All right. So I mentioned this, or I referred to this briefly earlier. There is a seasonal demand for all senior care, period. And a lot of people are really surprised to hear that or learn about that. Like, really? I never thought about it. And why would you? Right? So, but I'm just letting you know, because every time I preach proactive, sometimes people probably think I overdo that, but it's just because of what I know that I'm preaching that, trying to help you. So if you, it's on my website under one of the blogs. There's a drawing of kind of a crooked, shallow cereal bowl, if you will, with the left side being a little higher than the right side and just kind of a shallow trough. So this isn't your normal bell curve where it'll be going along a little ways and then it drops way down and then it comes way back up and then ends at about the same place. That's more of a traditional or standardized bell curve. This one is a shallow bell curve with the left side a little higher than the right side. So here's what I mean by that. There's always a demand for senior care, always and forever, always will be, always, every day. But the demand is the lowest in the summer months, June, July, and August. And then what happens is, you know, we've got September, October, now we're into November. So as we start to move toward the end of the year, starts getting colder, the daylight savings time went away, yuck, and now it's dark at 5:30, which really stinks, by the way. when are we gonna fix that? We need some legislation on that one. Somebody needs to stand up and say daylight savings when we spring forth and we have, you know, daylight until 9:30 in the summer for the farmers, and that perfectly understand. And then leave it. Don't fall back. Just leave it alone. Anyway, all right, I'm way off my topic here. But so as all these things happen, and it gets dark at 5:30, and I'm done complaining about that. The demand starts to increase as we head toward the end of the year. And then January and February, boom, it jumps up. We start that bell curve over, right? That's the higher part of the cereal bowl. It jumps up. The highest demand is in January and February and about halfway into March. And then as we move toward the summer, we get our light back because of another clock adjustment. And we should just leave it there. It starts to trail off, okay? Not too far, though. Shallow cereal bowl. And it's the lowest in the summer. And then it creeps up. And then it, boom, it spikes up. It does this every single year. Well, Steve, what's going on with that? That doesn't make any sense to me. What happens? So this will make perfect sense. So during the holidays, you know, November and December, there are tons of holidays, families gather. And we're so spread out these days. A lot of times you may live, you know, halfway across the country and you've just talked to your parents or maybe FaceTimed or had Zoom or whatever. And so families gather during the holidays and then they have these realizations. They're like, oh boy, I had no idea that mom was forgetting all these things. She's really showing signs, clear signs of dementia that's hidden pretty well over the phone or on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever. I don't know how safe it is for her to be living here. We probably ought to talk about some senior living options, but let's just get through the holidays and we'll go look at places after the first of the year. Or, oh, whoa, we thought dad was doing better than he was. We didn't think he was doing real well, but we thought he's doing better than he was. He's got bruises all over. His house is not picked up. I don't know if he's eaten a good meal in I don't know how many months. This is not a good situation. So you have these realizations. And then everyone, and then the weather gets colder, and all of a sudden, everyone's out looking for a place at once. And so that's why. With the cold weather, you have flu and pneumonia. COVID's never going away. You have a natural increase in demand along with that pent up, newly realized delayed demand. And boom, there's your spike. So get out, get your name on a wait list. You will thank me later. All right. And then to wrap up the program today, I just wanted to say that on this Veterans Day, I want to thank you so much for your service. It doesn't seem like enough, frankly, but it's the one thing that I can do, and I say it consistently. And when you're out and about and you see a man or a woman in uniform, just go up to them, look them square in the eyes, give them a firm handshake and say, thank you. Thank you for your service. Because it's because of them that you have the freedom and we all have the freedom to do anything we want to do. It's totally because of them. And I'd like to personally thank my father-in-law, Ken Akins, for his service in the Air Force. He served active duty almost his entire career and served in many different places, including England and Alaska. And he said that in Alaska, it was so cold. He said he walked out of the barracks with a hot cup of coffee and a styrofoam cup. He walked across a small parking lot into another barracks, and he went to take a sip of his coffee, only to discover it had transformed into a nice cup of not hot coffee, but into a frozen block of ice. It was that cold up there. And when they were in England, my mother-in-law had to handle the three kids all by herself. Let me say this. She went through some major stuff all by herself. You talk about someone who's strong and had to overcome so many things, and she made it through all of that. So we also need to recognize that the entire family serves as well as the veterans. So thank you, families. And then my grandpa, Demetrio Cuevas, he served in the Army in World War II. He got shot in the knee. I can't imagine how painful that would be. I mean, have you ever hit your knee on something and it just took your breath away? I can't imagine being shot in my knee. But even though he was wounded, he managed to pick up and carry another wounded soldier off the battlefield and to safety. And because of his bravery and his courageous act, he was awarded the Purple Heart. And so, they say the greatest generation. I don't think they make them like that anymore. And just incredible. I could go on and on, but let me just say that my family and I, we pray for you, our veterans, and we thank you. And if you're active duty, we pray for your safe return. We pray for you. And we truly appreciate all that the veterans have done for us and for our active duty, continuing to do everything that they do for us and, frankly, for our entire country. And on this Veterans Day, we say thank you. Thank you so very much for your service, for your bravery, for your courage, and for keeping us free. I'm Steve Kuecker, and I wish you grace and peace. May God bless you and your family on this day and always. Join me next week, right here on Senior Care Live.